We've been asked to read this evening from Leviticus chapter 19. Then spake the Lord to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal or deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man you are not to remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Well, with that reading, then, we will turn the program over to Brother Steve Johnson and Brother Bruce Parker, and we'll be learning about meal a day.
Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So why does Jesus want us to help others? Well, I think it's because it's good for us to do that. It's an exercise for us. It exercises our faith, and it stretches us not to be selfish. I don't use the word sinful as much as I used to. I substitute selfish, because that's what sinfulness is. It's selfishness, really, wanting to do things our way. And sin, you know, when you use the word sin, it kind of loses its impact after a while, because we just hear that all the time. You think, yeah, how am I sinful? We know the ways we are. But when you say, yeah, I'm selfish, we all are. We know that. So God wants us, Jesus wants us not to be selfish. And so we can stretch ourselves. And I think we're practicing for the kingdom age when we'll be sent out two by two to fix the world following the model we've been given in the Gospels, where Jesus sent out 70 in pairs and the 12 in pairs. And they went out and preached the gospel and did good works for people that they met. So that's what Jesus is doing. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? How it was that Jesus posed the problem to his disciples to give them an exercise? You know, how are we to buy bread that these people may eat? And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And you remember the response was sort of an incredulity on Philip's part in particular. Well, I think we get tested all the time to see what we'll do with the resources that we're given. Lord, I only have $10. What is that among such need? It's just a drop in the bucket. Well, what if there were 999 other people who could give $10? If you do the math, that's $10,000. What if that was happening every month? I can tell you what $10,000 can do in this world right now to help relieve suffering. Because Bruce and I were just there about a month and a half ago down in Haiti visiting some projects that Meal a Day is involved in. Meal a Day was able to give Pure Water for the World, who works in Haiti, a few months ago, $10,000 to reestablish a pure water system in 10 schools in Cité Soleil, Haiti, that had been knocked down, destroyed by the earthquake. And they needed that money to get the whole process going over again and set up a whole thing for the year to come. So that's what $10,000 bought, was a lot of clean water for a lot of people in a really wretched place. And these are some of the beneficiaries of that water, taking water home in containers to take it to their families, their brothers and sisters. Let me show you where those thirsty kids live. Right here, we drove right through this, Cité Soleil in Haiti. Bruce and I went there, as I said, following up on several projects, not just the water project that now Meal a Day is involved in. And we saw firsthand there in Haiti, and we've seen it other places too, what $10 multiplied a few times can do. It was quite a hill.
We all have different abilities, different resources, different circumstances. Some of you are already fulfilling these godly principles locally, helping with soup kitchens, making visits to sick or prisoners, helping with housing projects. Meal a Day is another option that we might even consider. Many of you already know me, charities like Red Cross, Smile Train, UNICEF, and so on, but we'd like you to consider letting us steward your charitable donations. And you might ask, why? Well, our overhead is less than 1% of all the money that you give us, versus 20 to 30% for most major charities, which means more of your money goes to the people that are in desperate need. We also are in a position to offer tax deductibility in the United States already, and hopefully in Canada at the end of the year. We visit our third world partners, and we visit the projects, mostly at our own expense, to verify that your funds are being used correctly, and to encourage and enjoy our partners and their good work. The man that you just saw a moment ago told us that when they first said to him, we can use the power of the sun to bring clean water for your village. And he thought, that's crazy. And then he saw it, and he was amazed. And then that's his son enjoying clean water. One of the most powerful exhortations, commendations found in the Bible is, she did what she could. And what does that mean? Well, it says, don't wait for something great to do. Do what you can today. And do it consistently. Do what you can. She did what she could. If you sign up to make a $10 or more donation each month, in combination with hundreds of others like yourselves, suddenly we can do things like bringing bottled water to a village.
This is one of the best experiences I had to date, walking the water lines. The people in the village put it together.
And rescuing children from abusive situations.
This is just a beautiful home.
And providing education to street kids. And bringing electricity to a rural village, where it can help the children in their learning, and it can help refrigerate the medicines and foods, and bringing health care and hope to prisoners, and counseling to help break the cycle of abuse in families. And we're going to stop for a second on this. I want to tell you about this lady. She's part of the first group that was going through these counseling sessions with Claudia, and she invited us to come to her home. That's her home, that's her kitchen. And she held her son, as you see, and she wept and said, after the first counseling session, I went home and I apologized to my children for the way I've been treating them. And I promised them that I would do better. I don't know how much you know about Latin American culture, but a lot of Latin American culture, the third world culture, the men don't marry the women. They live with them until it's no longer convenient, and then they move on. This lady had children by the man that she shared her home with, but no marriage. And after about 6 months of her being in this counseling program and practicing things differently in her home, he asked her to marry him, and they married. If you have any idea what the third world of Latin American culture is like, that's a huge testimony that she made some big strides. Her children and her husband benefited just as much as she. A dollar a day to feed, house, and educate this child rescued from an abusive situation. And she insisted, the first time we visited there was her first day. And so we got to see her move in. And she remembered us when we came back, and she said, I want to tell you, in Spanish, she said, I want to tell you my story. For this girl who had been abused by adult males, to invite two adult males in to sit at a table with her, one of them videotaping her, and she told us the story of abuse by her close relatives, and I'm sitting there just weeping. But look at her.
Her mother was actually selling her on the street, as it turns out.
And so, you know, and they said, you can't take poor kids. They've got to be severely abused to qualify, because we don't have that much room. So every single child at this facility of 65 or so kids is from that kind of environment, and they're in the most loving, cherishing environment. We went the first time, we said, how do you support this place? And he said, contributions. We said, well, who are your regular donors? And he said, we don't have any. We just wait each month. And he said, the employees haven't been paid for 3 months, and they keep coming to work. We said, maybe we can do something about that. It's our privilege to help support about a quarter of their budget, plus help out with some other little projects, because you're making it possible. $1.50 a month helps a Haitian adult become literate. And their goal, a lot of men, women, adults that are in this literacy course, their goal is to be able to sign their name. You say, okay, why would you spend money so an adult can learn to sign a name? It's because as soon as an adult invests in their own education, suddenly they're more interested in their child's education. So by investing $3 a day, no, $3 a day for a year provides an entire school with potable water. And $7 a day for a year helps Jorge Marmol, brother Jorge Marmol. You know Alex from Arlington? That's his dad. And he lives in Honduras, and he asked us for some money to help his community reestablish a suitable drinking water system. And so it's our privilege to be able to help him. A dollar a day provides education for teens in the Bolivian prison. And why are teens in the prison? Well, one reason the police use the prison as a parking place for teenagers to get them off the street, and they can put them in prison and keep them there for up to 2 years before they charge them with anything. So and if their parents are in prison, the families are in prison with them. So there's a lot of teenagers, and we funded programs called Better Decision Making, you know, on sexuality, how to run a business, how to get started, how to market, how to sell, helping these kids. Young men and women make better choices than their parents do. By the way, their parents are mostly in prison for having been mules transporting cocaine that's going to get to the United States and be sold to feed our drug habit here in the States. So they're in prison because of our society. And a dollar a day provides a meal and supplemental daily education to poor children in Colombia. By each one of us doing what we're capable of, a huge difference in the economy.
We look for projects in Latin America and the Caribbean where we can work with an NGO. And that, if that letters are unfamiliar to you, it stands for a non-government organization. There are a lot of NGOs out there that work in developing countries doing really essentially good projects, good works, like water projects and that sort of thing, looking for funding from people like us. They don't make a huge profit, but they are interested in helping people that way. And so we look for NGOs with proven track records that we can trust and can work with that way. That's why we go out in the field, to follow up and see what's happened with the money and make sure that it's actually what's happening is what we're being told is happening. We also find competent private individuals, too, to work with, like the fellow in Haiti that we're working with now that we'll talk about in just a bit, a little more. People with a vision, something they want to do that takes a little bit of funding. So let me give you the laundry list fairly quickly here, and a little bit of a geography lesson, too, which I learned a lot about geography, sort of getting involved with Meal a Day of the Americas, because I didn't know too much about Central and South America until going there a little bit. Alto Peru Electricity, talked about that, a little town high in the Andes. At 6 p.m., I discovered, near the equator, the sun sets every day of the year, and it comes up at 6 o'clock in the morning. But that's a pretty short day. And so what you can do by giving people a little bit of electricity, and now that they have these high-efficiency Philips light bulbs, it doesn't take that much power to run a town or to have a town. Everybody can have a little light in their house. They can extend their day. They can be more productive. Kids can study later. All kinds of things can go on. We just take it for granted. I mean, you say to yourself, why do they need a little light? You go home and turn off all your lights and, you know, let it get dark late in the summer and see what life is like. It's just, there are so many things we take for granted that we can help people with. Sur Antivo, water and electricity. Electricity has just been added to this project now. We added another fund so that they can have a little bit of electricity in their homes as well. This is a project that the NGO is called Grupo, works out of a university. And essentially, what they've done is built these lean-to structures against houses. They've done model homes, basically, and then the neighbors look at it and like the result and go and they help them do their own. But where it collects the sun, you'll see under the plastic against the wall, and it's all painted black under there, and it warms the interior of the home, the object being to lower the infant mortality rate, which is very high in the Andes Mountains where it's very cold a lot of the time. And there's a fellow who has his wall, his trombe wall, it's called. And the other project that Grupo is doing is installing chimneys into kitchens, which you wouldn't think, you know, you think everybody has a chimney, but they didn't, they don't. And so the women who would be cooking in there all day would breathe the equivalent of 400 cigarettes a day. And very, you can imagine the cancer rate very high in that environment, very short life expectancy. And so now by just installing chimneys like this and teaching people how to do this, the inside of the houses are free of smoke and life is improved. It just improves their lives that way. So simple. The other thing, the last thing that we're doing in Peru is really exciting. We just got started in this. Through another group, we're financing, helping finance microloans. And what's interesting about this is that this is sort of a follow-up, working with the same organization that we worked with before in other places, in Haiti for one place, Partners in Health. Maybe you've heard of them. Partners in Health has worked for years to cure people who have multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis in Lima, Peru, and other places in the world. Well, the problem is they've been effective, but it takes a long time for these people to get well on the drug courses that they have. Once they're well, then they don't have any work because of the economy and that sort of thing. They have no way to make a living. These are poor people. And so now another step here is Partners in Health is establishing microloans to people to start their own little businesses and try to get self-sufficient and support themselves again. These people who have recovered from awful tuberculosis that really runs rampant in a lot of poor countries. So that's Peru. Onward. In Bolivia, we've worked with Save the Children organization to put together women's empowerment programs. Essentially, they will build a structure that is a room for a women's club, and then the women get together and can have classes presented to them, things about family planning or how to run small businesses. And what happens is the family life improves tremendously because these women suddenly, yes, know things that they didn't know before.
For example, they would have to have about 12 children in order to get two that live out of infancy because they have such a high rate of infant mortality. But because of this instruction and understanding how children are conceived and stuff, they now can have two children in order to get two that survive out of infancy. You can just imagine, ladies, what the difference is having 10 fewer deliveries and all the heartache associated with losing 10 babies in order to have two living children. So just huge differences in their lives.
Yeah. We interviewed a number of them, which you're not going to see here, but on our website maybe at some point. And Bruce asked them how old they were.
These ladies, I thought 65, 70, and they said 37.
Oh, my goodness.
35.
I mean, just looking at them, you would think they were a lot older.
Hard life.
And the other thing that Bruce already mentioned is the prison program that happens in this prison, in the San Pedro prison in Bolivia, which we were not allowed to do. It's run by the prisoners, very strange place. We went in, got a tour. It's most frustrating for me because I couldn't take a single picture because the prisoners don't allow it. So, but it was fascinating, I got to say. Ecuador is next. Ecuador, we funded a water project. It's on a tributary of the Euphrates River. Amazon River. Wrong part of the
world.
At least I caught myself. Right. The Amazon River that we drove in a 4x4. Did we take a plane for that trip too? We took a plane for this trip too. Plane, trains, and automobiles. Finally got in a boat to get to this town because that's the only way to get there. And then they were building this water tower there and a low velocity pump will take the water coming out of the well there eventually once all the piping, well, it is working now. This was a little while ago. Pump it up to the water tower and everybody has a spigot at their house now of water that's clean, treated, and, you know, much better than going down to the Euphrates River. That was a very long walk for them.
They used to go to the river that was right adjacent to their village, but
and get a bucket full of water. That was their drinking water.
Yeah, the oil drilling has totally polluted the river, so now they need another source of drinking water.
And there, Bruce is sitting on the porch of, this is typical of the house, with just sort of open windows and hammocks, whatever, of one of the leaders in the village. And what was very cool about this is he's a very religious guy. And so a religious conversation sprang up, which I didn't understand a word of at that point because I know more Spanish now than I did then because I'm working on it. Go ahead, Bruce, because you can tell the story. They went off into the night, got out a flashlight, and were doing Bible study here.
And if you ever heard me speak Spanish, you would know immediately, if you spoke Spanish, that it's my second, distant second language, right? And his original language is, I think, Quechua, or one of the indigenous tribes. And so his second language, probably a distant second, is Spanish. But there we are, sitting with a Spanish Bible. Each of our second languages have a wonderful Bible discussion by the light of the flashlight.
Right, and we were able to actually put a bunch of Spanish materials about the truth into a box and send it via the NGO, the fellow, the engineer that we were working with, down there. So he delivered it to this fellow. So we'll see what happens with that. You never know. And last thing in Ecuador is on this tributary of the Amazon, there is a device called an aquacharger there that we are funding development of. And Bruce has something else to add, because he's the engineer. You know something about this.
I think this is useful to point out. This aquacharger has the potential to transform lives all around the Amazon Valley. Nobody has figured out before this how to generate electricity, because the rivers run so slowly. But this is an engineer from England who invented this, and he died, and his widow is a friend of a brother, John
Burton
in England, and so she's given the rights to use this patent, 21 patents or so, on this freely. Now, we, Christadelphians, have funded the development and the building of the prototypes and the testing and recording of the data and stuff to a certain point, but then somebody else has started to see the wisdom of this, and they've taken over the funding, and they want to take it to completion and make it available so that it can be locally manufactured to help their economy and generating electricity for all these indigenous villages up and down the river. And that's what we call planting seeds. That is, we'll start a project that nobody else will touch, but we can see the potential. And after 2 or 3 years of funding it, somebody else, like that hotel in Scotland or whatever,
right,
got excited about a project that we had helped do the research and study and engineering study for, and they're funding it. So we're planting seeds to get other charities involved and kind of leveraging the impact of your donations.
In Colombia, we've already talked about the abused children's home in Santa Cruz. Terrific place to go and visit, and we'll probably continue working with them for the foreseeable future. And also, we talked about the family counseling in Villa Vicencio in Colombia as well. Then, actually, we did mention briefly the feeding program in the poor barrio of Bogota that's carried on by a number of older women who see this as a something they can contribute and do, who live there, and then we do the funding for it. And there's another one. You know, there's a cute little... I could put the cute little picture of the girl up here for El Viento, but I figured you're tired of seeing cute little children. So instead, I changed it to this. It was supposed to take us, I forget how long, 14 hours to make this drive to get there. And this part of it, until we got out, was 6 hours. The sun went down before this truck was out of this mud that we got. The whole road was like this for miles and miles. We were just mudding, sliding all through the mud. This is sort of typical of... You know, my job with Meal a Day is to, quote unquote, is to sit in the back of a vehicle for endless hours, you know, trying to get the cramps out of my legs until we get to wherever it is that we're looking at for a short period of time.
You're not going to show the chigger picture?
Oh, yeah. There was a mud, but then I decided, no, actually, this is the picture I started out with. This is on a return trip home, and we're hauling something back with us that somebody needed. There's Bruce lying in the ground under the truck, because something had gone wrong with the thing. And then the next day, both of us actually got chiggers, and he's kind of wondering where he got them from. And I'm like, look at this picture. And I think, here, is this any mystery? Chiggers, there's a little thing that get under your skin, you know.
And then we went and asked somebody, what do you do about it? And they said, big trouble. And I said, what? Big trouble. And it turns out that that's Spanish pronunciation of the English words, big.
Yeah, and we really smell great from there on. For the next few days, we were very... smelled like we had colds. So we're just in Nicaragua in January, checking out, actually, that's something we'll talk about in a moment, the build project that's coming up. But here's an illustration of how often you start working with someone who's good, you know, who's solid, trustworthy, manages money well. We see a project come to fruition. They know other people. They know a few people who are like-minded, who are doing other things. And this is one. In Inotega, Nicaragua, there's a woman named Joy Pulsifer, who's from Mississippi originally, and now she's devoted her life to helping children in Inotega at this orphanage that she's taken over to run. She is, one of the things that we were able to do just recently is help replace the rusty water tower that's over there on the side and put in a new water tower, so we're helping their, helping their water system there and working with Joy. Likely, we might do some more things with this orphanage because we like orphanages and God has a lot to say about orphans and helping them. Other projects, Nicaragua, the solar water project that you already saw a little bit of earlier with the boy with the water. And also there's another project nearby that is a dam, damming up a stream. And then the water is also coming down this pipe and running a long distance, but to generate some power, a little bit of power, those little high-efficiency light bulbs in a village down the way. Here's another thing that is... When we got there, it was about 2 weeks from being open, but we got the full-blown tour. It was really a beautiful place, a clinic, Clinica Verde, that is there to serve the poor, largely, and emphasis on pediatric and prenatal kind of care. And here's a really cool thing, that an ecclesia in Toronto just recently had a silent auction night where they got together and had some fun, and they were able in that night to raise the money to pay for a nurse for half of a year, just like that. Because people don't get paid a whole lot in these countries. But, you know, the point is, this is terrific, and what a wonderful contribution. And they had a good time, and what a wonderful thing. So, Clinica Verde, that's a good operation. And then, finally, we're going down in about 2 weeks for our second build project, second year in Nicaragua, build 2011. And we're going to help people like this woman, whose name is Sandra, who I was able to talk to a little bit through an interpreter. That's her house out behind her. This is actually her new house that has been built just previously. The doors and windows haven't been finished. But they're rebuilding. Habitat is working to rebuild a whole village over time, just working at everybody's house. And so when we go down, we're going to, in our team of 24 people, we'll be... working on two houses simultaneously that sound like they're pretty close together, so we can race to see who can get the house finished first. Emery, I hope you're ready for this. Yes. And there's some other people who are going on the trip, too. Caitlin Ross, I'm going to blow this, Emery, Giles, and there's one other person, Jenna Tucker. Is that it? Anybody else here? Oh, yeah, Rachel Shane. Rachel, right. Pardon me? No. Nope. Okay. So, anyway, there. That's our what we're doing in Nicaragua. In Honduras, we're working with Pure Water for the World, who has an operation in Honduras to provide... these are water filters, organic water filters. Very cheap to make, but do a wonderful job of cleaning really polluted water. And again, in Honduras... Oh, go ahead.
Did you say organic water filters?
I said... I don't know what I said. I probably did. Well, they work. They work just by bacteria in them and sand. Okay. So, I mean, they're very. Never mind. You get the idea. And there's Brother Marmel again. That's happening in Honduras. Just so you know that, providing fixing the water system in his community. Then there's last year's build team, 34 strong, and you might recognize a few faces in there, from Guatemala, where we worked on three houses, working together on them, and having Bible classes. The other thing that goes on with our project is we work really hard during the day, like a 7-8 hour day. This is really going to be hot this year in Nicaragua, I'm told. But then we have, in the evening, we have a Bible class, and then have some other spiritual activities, devotions, and that sort of thing. So we try to make it a little Bible school environment, spiritual activities going on as well, and then a little bit of cultural activity in the country, too, to learn. But the basic, the idea, there are many, many goals with this program, and I won't list them all. But the idea basically is to introduce largely young people to a different environment and show them poverty in a developing country and see the world just a little bit, a different side of the world than maybe you'd go if you were a tourist, that sort of thing. So, and help people, do something good for others.
Still going to show that picture of our specialists?
Yes. So we'll put that one away. There's the houses that we were building in Guatemala, something like an 800 square foot house. They're actually smaller houses in Nicaragua, in like one room. And some of the folks that were in the picture there, a couple of them, there's Dennis, you can see him. And I don't know why he's smiling, because we told him he had to move all his blocks by himself. We didn't, really. It took us a long time to move those blocks by hand. All of us working on our team, and of course, you noticed Horst has a shovel in hand, working very hard. And there's this other guy. I am sorry, Ian, that is terrible. But I couldn't help myself. Actually, he'd been working so hard that he just needed a siesta for a moment. In Jamaica, we've been providing eyeglasses to Sunday school, Christadelphian Sunday school students who can't afford them and need that help. And in Haiti, then, we've already talked a little bit about Haiti, but there's Pure Water for the World in Haiti that we are working with there. And we've done a lot with Partners in Health, that organization that is Boston-based, actually. And if you want to read a good book, read Mountains Beyond Mountains, which we did. And my brother-in-law, Ken Wubble, sent me the book, Mountains Beyond Mountains, years ago, before Meal a Day, before I was involved in Meal a Day or any of this was going on over here. And but I just tucked that away. It was such an amazing story. And when we got involved with things, we explored Partners in Health, found out what a wonderful organization they are, what they're doing, and started small with giving us some money for a prison project so that they could help Haitian prisoners with a clinic of visits just to give them some health care. And then the earthquake happened. And so we already had a channel set up, and Christadelphians contributed something like $45,000 very quickly. And we were, within a day or two, it was in the hands of people on the ground in Haiti setting up clinics, Partners in Health, doctors and nurses, setting up clinics, setting bones, doing other things like amputations or whatever, but treating people, helping people just instantly like that. And that's so earthquake relief is one of the things that we helped with. The little boy who's getting his face painted over there is one of 40 orphans who were found after the earthquake living in a hospital, and they were all either mentally or physically handicapped in some way. And so Partners in Health established, very quickly set up an orphanage for them because they were parentless, and now they live in a home called Zanmi Beni, which Christadelphians contributed to get that established and rolling. So, terrific. And they had here's what's going on. That's their birthday party. They have these 40 kids. They have no records of their birth, parents, anything. And so they've just established a birth date for them. And so they all had a big party for their birthday. And so they were getting their faces painted and all this stuff going on not too long ago. What else? In Haiti, we've been helping a fellow who runs a program called All on His Own. One of those people with vision wants to help his Haitian, the folks that he's with, and has a program for street children in his home called the Hopeful Foundation that we've been working with him for a couple of years. He's proven himself very trustworthy, and we've had a lot of contact with him. And so those are Hopeful Foundation kids. One thing that he does a Saturday program with them, then has activities, feeds them a good meal with some protein in it, chunk of meat, and along with the rice, and then pays some of them. He's able to pay their school fees and help some of them go to school in Haiti, which is a pretty tough thing to do in Haiti. So this same fellow wanted to do an orphanage a couple years ago because orphanages are really needed in Haiti, but we couldn't do that at that point. We still can't because we need a steady income stream that we can count on before we could get into something like an orphanage, obviously, because every year you can't just stop if you get into that. So we said we can't do that. But what we are doing, what he wants to do and what has Now the project that he's working on with us is to build a school. And that's, you heard about our appeal for school supplies, because as Matt said, we can save some money if you can send us a barrel full of school supplies. And we have a relatively inexpensive channel to get the barrels of stuff down there. And so Bruce and I, when we were there, the sign overhead says, drink the water, get cholera, and die, basically. We walked up this hill through a tent village that's there, met some of the people who were there. It's obvious that Esmath is well known because all the children who come out, people would come out, he's known by them. And now they're standing on the site where Esmath wants to put a school. And we've adjusted his vision a little. He wanted to start, this gives you maybe some insight into where we come from and how we don't just say, yeah, sure, rubber stamp. He had a proposal. We cut it down a half or a little less and say, just do two grades and add a grade every year if you can, if this works. And, you know, we'll see how this goes instead of six that he wanted to start with. So we'll see how it goes. Here's a boy, another cute child's picture that I put up here. But there's a reason I put his name on here is because he has a name. You know, you see all these pictures and whatever. I took the picture of this kid. I know where he lives, basically. I know pretty close. I know I could find him again. And he has a name, Savard Jamesley. And he wants to go to school. And the amazing thing is that 50% of the children in Haiti cannot go to school for a list of reasons. Can't. 50%. And so this is a free school down the road, hopefully, for something like 200 kids that we're working on now. It's a really exciting project right now that is under development, we think can happen.
You want to talk about the barrel?
Oh, well, I sort of did, I thought. The barrel is full of school supplies. People brought school supplies, and it's pretty full. We're good, although there's equal amount in Chicago right now, too. So we're good on school supplies at the moment. However, listen for more information about the school as it develops and what you might be able to do.
Mill of the Americas began 3 years ago by adopting two projects begun by our UK brothers and sisters in Latin America. Now, you are supporting over 25 projects 10 countries of Latin America and the Caribbean. Beyond this, we're beginning to expand what we do for Christadelphians of North America. We talked a little bit about the build team, and this year, in a couple of weeks, the second build team will go to Central America and build homes for the very poor. That'll mean that over 50 Christadelphians and program folks have got their hands-on experience serving, and they can bring this attitude and experience home and turn it into service here. We also have a dream. To be totally frank, I'm kind of pushing this dream. And we haven't got a totally dream yet, but then we haven't got a total misdream yet. So, this build program is aimed at 18 and up and baptized. And we make a few exceptions based on specific criteria. But what about the number? And so we've got a dream that we can have a domestic home building project, maybe to Appalachia, maybe to the Mississippi Delta, maybe to regional areas so that we could do them on 40 weekends and stuff. We're just sort of evolving this idea and that it could be for those 15 and up or even 13 and up that are accompanied by a parent or guardian. And we could go with these younger people and engage them in their faith, in service, in the name of Jesus. I was talking with a brother earlier today, and he said, if I can help, let me know. Isn't that great? That's fantastic when you do that. So, my dream is not that we get the old guys to do one more project, but that we engage some of the younger ones, the ones in their 20s, 30s, whatever. You know, the people with names like Schlager, Walker, Chimes, Dogs, and others.
Just to name a few.
They could organize and run this program with us behind them, supporting them. Wouldn't that be nice if the 20-somethings could be running the program for the young teens and doing this, and we could support them? You know, we've got ourselves out of a job, and some of these younger people can get these skills and learn Spanish and begin to take over the roles, and we can consult and we can help and we can do other fun things. Do it with them. So we've got this vision. We've got a vision for our community that meal a day would be interactive, that every one of you would be able to contribute ideas and effort to that fund and stay informed. That you would, this program would be fully supported by all North American believers in prayer, financially, with ideas, with participation in group projects. That this program, the Meal a Day program, would be unifying. That there'd be no distinctions. That anyone who's a believer can come and serve and support together. That this program would be engaging, especially for the young. But then this place is for the not quite so young.
Bruce and Steve.
Exactly. And with, you know, we have a vision that this program can be part of a touch to teach. That is, that like you're doing for yours, that this van could help the water supply in this community, but then people might be interested in part of these facilities that are part of this. Or like the eyeglass programs in Jamaica. Or the man who's blind, who's a brother in Christ in Colombia, who goes out to schools and teaches people how to interact with handicapped people, you know, and how to eat nutritiously so that they won't become blind and stuff like that. So the efforts that, you know, would help the community and encourage the community to say, who are these people? And give opportunities for others to follow up with preaching. And a vision for our community to support outside of our region. And because of your generosity, we've been able to funnel nearly $1 million of donations to help in Africa also. These are people who said, yes, I want to give it, I want to help in Latin America, but I also have this much money and I want to give it for Africa. Right? So you know, that's a privilege for us to be able to help all the world. We have a vision for our community that Meal a Day would be a world-class charity. Good enough so that even non-Christelle, non-Kodak folks, including maybe your extended family, maybe your co-workers or your schoolmates, would be interested enough to help.
In fact,
at least that they would respect you for being involved in this. That it's a good thing to do good works in the name of Jesus.
I have 3 co-workers at work who are interested enough to sign up for the what I'm about to talk about, the 1 in 1,000 project, and give regularly because they've started to see our track record and what we're involved in, what we're doing. So, what can you do right now? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is this, that is important, although I will preface it this way. If you're like me, when somebody says what I'm about to say in this context, you're thinking, of course he had to say that before saying something about giving money. What I'm going to say is pray. Pray for the success of this organization. Pray for the wisdom of the directors as we move forward with it. Pray about it. When you think about it, ask God's blessing on it and help and guidance and direction too, so that we can be steered in a right direction if we're going in a wrong direction. That sort of thing. Prayer is very important and first on the list, and it really is. Secondly, there is that money thing. And here's the thing. We would like to ask you to be one of the 1,000, or maybe it'll be 5,000 someday, you know. And here's the thing. With regular contributions, if you will sign up to do this regularly, automatically, you won't even feel it after a while because we can set it up to make it automatic. We can plan ahead because we will kind of have an income stream where we know how much we are going to have, so we could do some things like an orphanage at some point if that opportunity presents itself. Seems to be the thing for us to do. Right now we can't because we live sort of hand to mouth, you know, with what comes in. And the other thing is, right, one of the things that we do in Meal a Day is when we get together twice a year, the directors, who I should have had a picture of up here so you know who they are.
Well, let's name them.
Well, let's try to name them without messing up.
Eddie, Beth Finch, Eddie's still on the committee. Beth was, but she chose to get off so that we could get another younger person on the committee.
Right.
There's Joni and I, there is Steve, there is Casey Opitz, who does a fantastic job of tracking all our family finances and giving the reports. By the way, complete transparency, you go to our website, you can see our annual income and outflow, and you can see our balance sheet stuff. It's all right there.
And I might insert
my sister Virginia, yeah, is a third-party audit.
Just to insert, we decided at the outset, the directors decided that no one but Casey would know who contributes.
Right.
And that's what we live by. So if I'm looking at you and you've actually given two gazillion dollars, you know, whatever, and I don't seem to indicate that I know that, it's because I don't. So.
Exactly. We put a firewall because it's your privacy, what you're doing with your money. And George and Lori Rayner from the Toronto area, and Luke and April Barrett from Portland. Luke is the one that took Beth's place, and April is supporting him. They're going to try to do a newsletter for us and stuff. Happy New Year.
I think we got them all. And the thing is, what I had started out to say is, when we get together, that group, we work through the projects, we take the reports we've gotten from people, and then the requests, and we essentially do our best to get rid of the money that we have and not hold it and try to build up a big bank account. It's just try to get it out there doing the good that it's intended to do by the people who have given it. Okay, so how can you do this? Let me show you how easy this is. First, go to the Meal a Day website. We're going to give you a little card as you walk out that has that website on there so you'll be reminded. And we've made this a lot better. Some of you signed up originally with when we were using PayPal. We've gotten away from PayPal for various reasons. It's a lot better now. We're using an organization that does this for charities, and so it costs us a lot less to use this group, and it just works a lot better. Go there, click on Contribute at the top of the page. That's going to take you to a contribution page. You know how the internet works. Flips through these pages. If you scroll down, there's our, you see the treasurer's name, Casey, and an address if you want to mail a paper check to him. But we'd like you to sign up for regular contributions, so you click on Donate Now, and you have three choices at that point. You can click the amount you would like to donate, number one. Number two, you can click the box. It comes up with the other box, I want to make a one-time donation. Click on I want to make a recurring donation, and then you can choose the iteration of that. And so monthly, annually, weekly, I think is the other one under there, I forget. So then what you do last is tie this to a credit card, and I would suggest this card, the Apostle Paul card, because, as you know, he said, I will most gladly spend. Sort of truncating what he actually said, twisting it terribly, resting it horribly. But at any rate, you just tie it to a card, and then you'll see it on your statement. And at the end of the year, Casey will send you an acknowledgement for your taxes, whatever. So you'll have that. So, okay, it's so easy. You can borrow my computer at any time, and you can get online right after we get done here if you want to and do this. Then what we'd like you to do is visit our website monthly, sign up for a subscription, and I am promising to put a new feature every month starting in August, at the end of August, once I get back from Nicaragua. In fact, we're going to try a blog from Nicaragua, see if we can do that so that people can keep up with what we're doing sort of as we go along. It should be a new feature there every month to show you what is happening with your contribution. The point is, so many times, you know, you get the same mail I do with these groups, and you pull it out, and you see the nice pictures of the cute little children, and then, but you don't, and you may contribute, you may not, but you don't really have the sense that you're a part of that. We want to make it so that you feel like you're a part of this organization. You know what's happening, ongoing, what's going on out there with the money. And also be an advocate for it. Share the Meal a Day story. Tell a friend. Join us in this work.
I would like to read one verse. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. I would like to share with you just a brief story. I have permission. one tiny little incident in Guatemala last year. You saw the picture where we had that big wall of cement blocks that had to be carried. Right behind me on that picture was a huge mountain of sand and gravel that had to be moved about 100 or so yards down to the build site by hand. And it was done by filling 5-gallon plastic buckets with sand. And if you've ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket of sand, you know how heavy it is. And the folks on the team, I was shoveling. I had the easy part. I was shoveling the sand into the buckets. And all of the folks on our team, the other 10 on our team, were carrying them down. And the young ladies on the team began singing. And they were singing Disney songs. They were singing spiritual songs, some hymns. It was absolutely beautiful. This went on for about maybe 20 minutes, and going back and forth with the buckets. I turned around at one time because all the buckets were down at the bottom of the hill, and I didn't have anything there right then to shovel. And I turned around and I looked down this road, which went down the hill the other way, and there were about 20 of the local women out on the road listening. It was beautiful. It was touching. So Meal a Day touches people in a lot of ways, even those who probably aren't being directly worked for in that case. It's just a very wonderful experience. And if you'd like to have a little bit more of a personal, come and talk to me. I can talk to you a little bit more about it, too. I'd be glad to do that. We will close tonight's program by singing hymn number 273 and followed by a closing hymn, and we'll ask our brother William Gary to come up and offer the prayer at the end of the hymn. Hymn number 273, Christ is coming. Let creation bid her groans and travail cease. Let the glorious proclamation hope restore and faith increase. Hymn number 273.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, once again we come before you to thank you for the many, many blessings that's been bestowed upon us. We thank you for opening up our minds and our hearts and our ears, that as we hear thy word, that we can apply it in our lives, that it may be pleasing in thy eyesight. And Father, we do thank you for bringing us to this place, that we can come together and speak of thy word, have our children to run and do the things that they are pleasing to do. And Father, we do thank you for that blessing. And Father, now as we complete this day, we ask that you be with us as we go our ways, that you continue to be with us, that we may have this night to go through, and in the morning we can praise you again. Father, we do thank you for this, and it's in Jesus' name that we give this prayer. Amen.